And so I would come home grieving, spirit grieving. Head just confused, but spirit grieving. And wanting sleep. Isn't sleep wonderful? I mean, when you're grieving, it's really wonderful. And so in the middle, you know what God did in the middle of the night? He woke me up. I used to say, oh, how rude. First he had me go read. I hate reading. You hate reading? You don't want to go to Africa? Guess what? I got a job for you to do. So I was sitting in university reading all this garbage, and now I'm coming home wanting to escape, and he'd wake me up, and then he'd say scripture in the middle of it all. And it was a wild moment. I wake Karen up, my wife up, and go, listen to this, you got to listen to this. You know, I share it, and she'd go, you said that last night. No, this is new, you know. And then she was supposed to be my sticky pad. She was supposed to remember, because I probably wouldn't remember it, but surely she would. Neither one of us would remember in the morning. So not only would he wake me up, I had to drag myself out of bed, write it down. Then in the morning, I go over and I read it and go, wow, I never had any professor ever explain the dialectic process and take me to the Word of God. It succeeded. I can have a town hall meeting and no Word of God with a room full of quote-unquote Christians. It works. So you have a classroom in the public schools and no Word of God. It's godless. No God. We don't need him. It works. It's called academics. That's all Eve did in the garden. That's what Satan came in and got Eve to be the first academic. Justified her actions by what she saw. The world. And here we are. Godless nation. And it's even the church. I know, I meet people all over the nation, 17 years of speaking. All the elders and deacons I've met that have gone into the churches and opened up the Word of God. All of a sudden they realize, today you open up the Word of God in the church and a fight breaks out. Not interested. Not interested. We're interested in how you feel, what you think. But not what Dad says. See? And I've met the wives who went home and got in a fetal state in the kitchen and wept because their godly husbands were brutalized by the leadership in the church. See, I've yet to meet a church growth, emergent church minister who loves God's word and fears God. Not a one. Not a one. Not a one can I ever take to the Word of God. They will go for everybody's opinion, but they will never go to the Word of God because this would kill them. Because they have to think through their feelings. Not interested in the truth anymore. See, and that's actually where the church goes, the nation goes. And we've lost the church. Because we got all kinds of rooms up, you know, big buildings with people going, how do you feel, what do you think in Bible studies? Not memorizing the Word of God anymore. Christians in Walmart says no soliciting. Oh, okay. I won't share God. I won't share the Lord. I won't offend. And if we do, we'll just make sure it's this feeling good stuff, you know. And I'm not against that. I'm just saying that God came with wrath. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He said, I'm bringing sword. This is a word by, this is suffering here. How do you market this? This is confrontation. Had a meeting up in Washington a couple years ago with a young man who is working with a Japanese minister. He's now in Japan with this minister who realized the Japanese culture has never been evangelized. Because the Japanese culture does not have a language of confrontation. And so all the missionaries have rewritten the Word of God to be non-confrontational to fit with the culture. They haven't heard the Word of God. And so he's translating the Word of God as is. See, because men changed it. Because they went in and go, I feel and I think. But they're translating the Word of God as is. And they're actually having to teach the Japanese a language of confrontation so that they might know God. In fact, interesting, the Japanese have no history. They only go back 1,500 years. They don't know where they came. In fact, the Shinto religion is a combination of Shintoism, or excuse me, Buddhism and Hinduism and Catholicism. See, all dealing with relationship, the group, the team, mother church, you know, all that bonding elements of society. So who were Adorno and Fromm? Well, they were men who started, their organization was started in the early 1900s by George Lukács. George Lukács is Mikhail Gorbachev's philosophical foundation. He had to recant his ideology under Stalin to stay alive. And another man, Karl Korsch, who eventually came to the United States, did a little research, sort of disappears off the map. But these two were foundational to the starting of an institution called Institute of Social Research. They met in Thuringia, Germany, 1923, 26, somewhere in there, and began the first Marxist work week. Then ended up in Frankfurt, Germany, where 21 of these Marxists were meeting. And then 1933, Hitler became chancellor, and guess where those most of those guys came? Directly to the United States of America. Paul Lazarsfeld went to Columbia. He was the professor for James Coleman. James Coleman earned his doctorate degree, I mentioned him earlier, under Paul Lazarsfeld. James Coleman is a man our Supreme Court turned to for advice on education. Now, why were they kicked out of the Communist Party? Because they were. It was because they had merged Freud with Marx. Now, the traditional Marxists said, you know what? We shoot people. We're just going to clean the mess up. You know, just get rid of these right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell thinking people. But Lenin, he killed enough people, the lights went out. Oh, does anybody know how to run the power plant? He shot the infrastructure. This guy said, you don't have to shoot the infrastructure. All you have to do is get them in a room and get them to ask them how they feel, what they think, and you'll change the way they think. You'll change the world. Just change the environment where policy is made. That was the Soviet system, by the way. And so these guys were kicked out because they weren't shooting people. You know, that comes later. At first, you have to save, redeem, rescue as many people as you can from the old-fashioned way of thinking because you want to keep the infrastructure going. Well, they came here, like I said, Paul Lazarsfeld, Columbia. Theodore Adorno goes to Berkeley, writes The Authoritarian Personality. Eric Fromm freely travels, made, as one author said, makes Marx lovable by the new left. And, of course, there all of a sudden we find this material is from their research. Then there's Herbert Marcuse, goes to Eros and Civilization. He writes one of the two Bibles of the 60s, and the other one was by Norman O'Brown, Life Against Death. Both explain the merging of Freud and Marx. That was the key. Sociology, Marx. Psychology, Freud. Ever heard of social psychology? It is transformational Marxism. The idea was we can bring Marxism in to America through psychology, and nobody will ever know. Because all of psychology is the two questions, how did you feel and what do you think? No father. There's no father in how you feel. There's no father's authority in an opinion. See, and that's pretty brilliant, isn't it? All I have to do tonight is, what's your opinion on the Word of God? You have to leave the Father out because there is no Father's authority in your opinion. Of course, I sort of like that. You know, my teacher said, well, you know, when your dad said you couldn't take the garbage out, well, how'd you feel about it? I like that teacher because my dad never asked me how I felt about it. And so you're deceived. Why? You trust the person. Ah, they care. And that was the key here. We want to bond with people, gain their trust. And once they can trust us, see, we can take them anywhere we want. Now let me go through. Because the key of this whole thing, I'm going to jump ahead here and then back up, is the thesis we thought was the father. That's how we would start. And that is the language of is and not. That says you can't go out. And we, you see, if Dad says you can't go out, now he's got, this is a command, right? This is a command. And then we want to get out of that command. And so what would we use? Well, there's a word we would use. Just one word. We start with cry as babies. And now we make it a word form and we go, why? Now, why is to get you into dialogue. Because this is not dialogue. This is preaching and teaching here. That's all Jesus did was, by the way, preach and teach. That's all he ever told Peter. Feed my sheep, preach and teach. Peter, in fact, when Jesus asked him, you know, who do men say to him? By the way, that was Remember Dragnet, Sergeant Friday? Just a facts man? Peter responds, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus goes, "Peter, that didn't come from you. Because you guys are all over here going, I feel and I think." Wasn't everybody amazed? Jesus spoke with authority. Disciples weren't speaking with authority. It wasn't until after Pentecost. What happened? They spoke with authority. These guys must have been around Jesus. And so Peter's response is, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Well, Peter, this has come from you. This came from my Father. And I hope you understand what he's saying. I'm going to build my church on this. Build my church on how he responded to the temptations. It is written, Dad says, Dad says, Dad says. Our Father, which art in heaven." See, what do we have today? We don't have. See, the Father brings chastening. We have a positive church today. You ever thought chastening was positive? I didn't. It's grievous for a season. I don't get to do what I want to do. See, but no, the Word of God chastens. But that's why today the church will not accept the Word of God. Because it cannot accept reproof, correction, and rebuke. Just be positive and we can all get along. So that was the key was, okay, we don't have to shoot you. All I have to do is get you into dialogue. So what they do is, now the child, by the way, is dialogue. The child is, I feel. Now they're not really thinking because that's the individual child. According to Freud, the child, I didn't finish that, by the way. The father drives the children out. The children, remember they're having incest with the mother. Father drives them out, says that's wrong. They come to what's called consensus. Ever heard the word consensus? It means with sensuousness. We're right, Dad's wrong. And then according to Freud, they come back and they kill the father. And they don't only kill the father, they eat him. And when I was reading Eros and Civilization, that's in the middle of the book. Now you're not, you know, unless the Lord's leading you into this stuff, I mean, this is, I've sort of protected myself by, I read a quote and I go, oh man, that's good, but I don't want to get into it because it's awful. And so I do PowerPoint. I just quote it, you know. And halfway through the book, I had over 400 slides. And so it's sort of keep it at a distance, but wow, that is sick. But that's Freud. You won't get Freud until you get up to your master's and doctorate level. You've sold your soul to it. Freud says that children have to go back, not only kill Dad, but eat him. Now, the reason you eat him is because if you don't eat him, there's a tombstone. You bury him. Well, who's that? Next generation. Well, that's Dad. What happened to him? We killed him. Well, why? Because he kept telling us what we could or couldn't do. Was he wicked? Oh, now we got a problem. No. He loved us, protected us, and fed us. Now you've got what psychology has to get rid of. The guilty conscience. Dad in you. We can get rid of the dads. But there's a residue left over. The conscience. Dad in you. If I can get you to dialogue here, I get your representatives to die. This is what happens to them. Get them in a subcommittee. Get them to go, I feel and I think. There is no conscience. The conscience is you, the constituents. You're the father. They're the children. They are to represent your position. Get them to go, I feel and I think. You have no representation. Zero. Gone. Cool. That easy. Same system in the classroom. How did you feel? What do you think? No fathers. What'd Satan do with Eve in the garden? How do you feel? Ought to touch it. What do you think? There's nothing wrong with it. She was right. Tree didn't kill him. She was absolutely right. First scientist. First materialist. Good for food? Absolutely. God didn't come to the garden and say, oh, there was mercury in that tree. There was cyanide in it. No, they'd be there today. They'd be there today if God hadn't shown up and said, you know what, I'm removing you from the tree of life. That's where death came from. Your child eats a cookie you told them not to eat. Are they going to fear death because they ate the cookie? No, they're going to fear death because they disobeyed you. That's why they died in the garden. They changed their paradigm. Had nothing to do with the tree. The tree was an object to say, you eat that, you're dead. There's right and there's wrong, and that's I'm the one who sets the standard, not you. But she saw the tree. That's over here, saw. Sight. Because when dad gives a command and he threatens chasing, that's faith. Children don't understand their fathers. No child can understand the father. In fact, Jesus is the only one who understood the father. See, he came equal with the father, didn't he? Humbled himself, became as a child. And it's only through him that we can understand the father. Now, maybe I'm jumping into this a little fast. But when you understand the dialectic process, it's the children trying to understand the father through the flesh, and you can't. The only way you can understand the father is to be dead to the flesh. See, Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? You know, I do that which I don't want to do. I want to obey dad, but I just can't do it. It's the law of the flesh. You say, who can deliver me from this? I can't understand God. I can't do what he wills. Then he gives us the answer. Jesus Christ. He fulfills the law. He fulfills what I couldn't. You know, the Ten Commandments only has one purpose. That's to tell you you're wicked. You're not God. God said fulfill. No, yeah, okay, go down and sacrifice that lamb. But Jesus came to fulfill the law because we could never satisfy it with all the blood of every animal on the face of the earth. You couldn't do it. Its only purpose was to say you're wicked. You need a Savior. And so Jesus comes, redeems us from the wrath through the shed blood, the wrath of the Father, and reconciles us to the Father. It's all about the Father. You know what dialectic, I'll get ahead of myself, you know what the dialectic does? It redeems us from the Father and reconciles us back to the world. Because if I ask you how you feel, what you think here tonight, you will be redeemed from it is written and reconciled to all that which you have in common, everybody else in the room having their feelings and their thoughts. One or the other. See, with God, by the way, there's only antithesis. There's no synthesis. That's the deception. See, the deception is that I can be like God. That's why the law came. What did they do in education? Didn't they get rid of the Ten Commandments? Because the Ten Commandments freezes it right here. You got this. Right or wrong. Black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell. But if you can get rid of the law over here, and that's what they did, they started with the children. They start with a child. How do you feel? And then you get the father now becomes the antithesis. The not. He's the negative. He's the heavy. He's the barrier. He's the obstacle. And so Freud realized you couldn't do it with one child. Freud tried it with one child, but Moreno came along. He said, you got to get them in a group. He kept telling Freud, you got to get them in a group. Because Marx understood it was the children. According to Freud, the child's id is the real child. The id has no canons. There's no father's authority in the id. It's like Adam. If God created Adam and never left him alone, maybe gave him Eve, you know, do whatever you feel like doing, but never gave him a command. Because all of us come as children, don't we? We don't have commands. It's the parent who gives us commands and threatens to chasten us. And so if they start with the children, how do you feel? I ask you tonight, how do you feel on the Word of God? I ask your representative how they feel. I ask your minister, how does he feel? How does he feel? You just lost your minister, your representative, when it comes to right and wrong. Because I feel ties me to the flesh. That's all. And so if I start with how do you feel, the father then becomes the heavy. And what I have to do is I have to do it with the children, plural. Because according to Freud, the id, the child, the ego is I will. Well, dad's bigger than the child. So dad chastens the child, and the child submits his will to the father's will, makes him neurotic. That's neurosis. And so the only way I can rescue the child is to get him on a couch and ask him how they feel and what does he think, and deliver him. That's your dreams, your early childhood, all that before the father came in, contaminated you with his cannots, must nots, thou now shalt nots. Moreno said, all we have to do is get you a group of children, 40, 50, 60-year-old children, get them to share how they feel, what they think, and the group think. We'll deliver them all from the father's authority. See, the approval of the group will justify getting rid of the approval of the father. Automatic. Don't have to come in and tell you not to believe in God. I just change the way you think. And you won't believe in God. You won't fear God. You won't love his word. Because it's now the antithesis. It's the opposition. So Freud was working in the right direction. In fact, Herbert Marcuse said that Freud's psychology was sociology. And he goes in, they go into length explaining the real Freud. It was all society. Society makes you. It's the village that makes you. Takes a village to raise the minister, the elected official, everybody. That was the group grade. You watch Common Core. Get on. I have an article I've written on issues, Common Core. I know it's 20 pages. You don't have to necessarily read that, but I go through all this and explain it, giving them lots of quotes. You're going to get a lot of these quotes. And then at the bottom, I give you a link to the Common Core websites. And all of them, it doesn't matter if it's kindergarten to the 12th grade, you can all, whoever's taken that, can get all the right answers and flunk. You can fail with the right answers. How you pass is whether you're in kindergarten, first, second, third, 12th, you get in a group, diverse group. Have to have diversity. Here's the diversity, because I want one child over here because I'm going to convert them. One child going, you know, it might be your child, right or wrong. I want a couple of children I feel, they're just feelings, 80% of the kids are over here. And I want a few thinkers, justifying. You know, they could be on drugs, whatever, they're justifying. They're justifying whatever works is, you know, whatever situation solves the situation in the moment, that's a solution. They're thinkers. And so then again, we work together as a group on social issues. What's happening in Africa, what's happening in Asia, you know, all these social issues, diverse group, dialoguing to a consensus, because that's the group grade. We all feel good about the outcome. Which, by the way, if you get to the consensus, then you've got to get rid of what each child was told by their parents is right and wrong. That would inhibit that consensus. Over social issues, in a facilitated meeting, because according to all these experts, it doesn't happen naturally. I read that. I read human relations and curriculum change. It doesn't happen naturally. Bloom says, the theory behind this was unprovable at the time. This was 40 years later and may well be unprovable. Wow. But we're doing it. We're practicing a theory. So we really don't know whether it's going to work or not. But as long as we do it, I guess it's okay. As long as everybody's having a good time. As long as everybody's jumping out of the plane together and have a great time falling, it's okay. And that's the foolishness. Professing to be wise, the Bible says what? Became fools. Turning to the wisdom of men rather than to God. So the outcome then is you got to have the group. And so you have four kids working on a group. That's commonality. You watch, by the way, if you watch those YouTubes on their presentation, and then you go to the next link, I link to a man who was a Mark. He passed away a few years ago, but it did a great documentation. But he was a Marxist. But prior to becoming a Marxist, I have to say that because you might listen to it and say, well, that's really neat. But he was a Hitler Youth. And so you listen to Obama's Common Core classroom. They show you the classroom in session. And then you listen to the Hitler Youth and you'll get chills. One and the same. Same method. One went national. The other went global. Same system. And what do? They have to work through how do you feel, what do you think, through the children. And when you do that, you negate the father. That's all Freud was about. That's all of psychology. I get your husband, the husband, the wife, and the children together, and I ask them how they feel and what they think. This is counseling today in the church. Take dad out and shoot him. That's what you did. You got rid of it is written, it is written, it is written. You can't have "it is written" with "I feel" and "I think." And so we find this going on in the garden. Let me go through human nature. Everything is by human nature. By the way, Scripture gives us human nature. All that's of the world, what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's human nature. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. So you only have two. With God, there's always two. Our nature is the environment directly affects you and me. God gave us a nervous system, touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. You don't know anything that's going around you in this environment without that nervous system. And so what that does is you touch something. Now, it can be pain. There are four nervous systems to pain. Very complex. If you want to study something, you'll never run out of stuff to study. Study pain. But pleasure is the one I want to focus on. You touch something that's pleasurable. A nerve is activated. And there are different nerve endings to pick up different sensations of pleasure. That nerve then sends its impulse, ionized deionization, to a little gap that is between the next nerve that sends this information up to the brain. This gap is called a synaptic gap. Now, our body naturally produces some 60 different neurotransmitters, in other words, chemicals. And these chemicals are in the important term. They call it emancipated or liberated. Liberation theology is right here. It's a chemical. See, everything man has to offer is chemical. All that is of the world is chemical. It's tied to the material. And so you touch something pleasurable. Well, say, for instance, there are other ones. Serotonin. Women only have a third of the serotonin than men do. You don't put women in the battlefield. By the way, women don't go to war. Men go to war. Because men have that fight or flight mentality. Women don't have a fight or flight mentality. Now, there were a couple of liberals who wrote a book a few years ago that said, the title of the book was "Men Were Different Than Women." For a liberal to write such a book, that's pretty traumatic in itself. They actually, in the last chapter, they apologized for the facts.